Looking for an assist with your credit card, but you can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring. Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
There's Saul Tillamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob.
All right, first here at Baseball Isn't Boring. The Baseball Isn't Boring community, the Baseball Isn't Boring family, the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. We have named a Baseball Isn't Boring official magician. Yep. We're the only podcast to name an official magician, certainly one that's affiliated with the great game of baseball. Tyler Heineman. Tyler Heineman is the guy. Congratulations to Tyler. Tyler Heineman is now in the Boston Red Sox camp, but last year he was with the Blue Jays. Last year he was with the Pirates. He has played in 104 Major League games. As he says in the podcast, he's just trying to establish himself from stem to stern in a Major League season as a Major League catcher. He's a good one. He's also a great guy to have on the podcast, not only because he's an interesting guy in terms of his journey, 32 years old, still finding his way, and hopefully like the confluence of experience and skill and athletic ability and all of that will lead him to his big chance this year, but also because he is the official magician of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He is a magician, and not only in terms of framing, catching, throwing guys out, all the things that come with being a big league backstop, but an actual magician. So he put on a show for the Boston Red Sox on Wednesday, and it's something that he's done for numerous teams going way back to the Houston Astros in 2016. He's legit. He's a legit magician. So when you have a legit magician who's also a very good catcher in the great game of baseball, you have him on your podcast. We appreciate Tyler coming on. Rate, review, subscribe, all of that. We're going to keep coming throughout spring training, throughout the season. We got off to a good start here down here in Florida, and we're not stopping now. But this is a good one today, Tyler Heineman.
All right, there's nobody I'd rather have on the podcast right now than Tyler. Tyler, I'm gonna bestow an honor on you.
Okay.
That you didn't even know I was gonna bestow on you. So Baseballs and Boring is a very powerful brand, national podcast.
Yeah.
You are the official magician of Baseball's Important Grand. Is that all right?
That's awesome. Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah.
Things that when you woke up this morning, you did not think they would
definitely
happen.
Didn't think about it, yeah.
Well, congratulations on everything. Congratulations on a great career so far. Before we get to, I do want to talk of some sort of evolution of I don't know, is hobby too demeaning?
No, not at all. I mean, it is a hobby of mine. It's something that I like to do, learn how to do. Starting in 2015, so just something that interested me. So hobby, I think, is a great word.
And you're good at it, too.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy doing it, so I think that we get good at things that we enjoy doing, just in anything in life. So when you enjoy doing it, you want to practice it more and get better at it. And it's just something that I like to do and learned how to do and found joy in it.
Most importantly, so how is the baseball going? That's what I want to know. So we're going to get into the magician stuff in a second. But in your place, you've had a really good career, and now you've landed in the Red Sox camp. How do you feel as a baseball player? I love this question. It's a cliche question. A year ago, compared to a year ago.
I mean, I feel great. I think that I'm at the age right now where my mental capacity and my physical capacity are like meeting, you know. So in my prime, I would say. I think when I'm younger, obviously a little bit more athletic and everything, but the mentality and just the mental game is not really there. And then as you get older, your skills start to decline, your physical starts to decline, but you learn more because you've been around longer and you do a lot of things. So I think I'm at that point, like right now, at 32 years old, where I'm not declining physically yet, luckily. And I think I've learned a lot along the way mentally that they're kind of all clashing and those two are coming together and kind of, I feel like I'm in a really good spot, mentally and physically.
You know what that's called? It's called a Tom Brady. That's what it is.
Well, I mean, you're putting the GOAT. Don't put me in the same category as the GOAT.
But this is like, this is what we talk about, right?
Yeah.
Is that if I only knew what I knew and when I had the physical ability and, but there's this like confluence of age and wisdom.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, absolutely. I mean, I think it's a real thing. Yeah. I certainly feel it. And, you know, just where I am now as opposed to where I was last year, I think that my goal is just to try and stick in the big leagues. You know, I've been up and down guy for my career. I've had a couple times where I've been up there the whole year, but, you know, I'm trying to find my way onto a big league roster and there to stay because I have something to offer. And so that's my battle that I'm working through right now and really trying to hammer home.
What was the highlight? Besides like obviously debut and everything, but was there a game, a moment, something somebody said? Was there for you? Give me a highlight of your baseball career.
I think for me, it might sound selfish, but I mean it in the most non-selfish way possible. I like the fact that there are analytics involved in baseball. I think it's really cool to see where you stack up amongst your peers. And for me to have in 2022, I was told I had the quickest release in all of baseball.
That's a good one.
And that was just really cool. You know, it's cool to me. I didn't think about it, and I didn't really think that I was on the same level as like JT Realmuto or Will Smith or just these guys that are dudes. Yadier Molina was still playing then, you know. And for me to be the top guy on that list with those was really
cool. Nothing. Don't
really
shy
cool.
away from that.
No, yeah.
That's awesome.
No, it was really cool.
Yeah.
But like I said, most people that know me, I'm not really one to talk about myself too much. Yeah. I'd like to lift other people up. But, yeah, I would say something like that. Just to have that data, it can give me a little bit more confidence.
Yeah, well, think about it. I mean, like, this is, you know, we talk about analytics and everything else, but think about it, you know, 10 years ago, we aren't able to get that. We could say, oh, you have a nice career, but that's something. And also, by the way, it's something when teams look at you.
Like,
that this is, it's, yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, I think that
helps.
You
don't like talking about yourself, but I'll talk about
it. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I think that helps, you know, with analytics, everything keeps me in the game. As a catcher, you know, you're judged based off of how you handle a staff, how you frame pitches, how you block, how you throw, game management, how you call games, all that, more so than you're hitting at first. And I think that all of these analytics and all these numbers, you have something to back it up if you're good at defense. And I think you just continue to get some opportunities that you probably wouldn't have otherwise gotten as you gotten older. Had there not been numbers.
All right, here's another cliche question. This is going to morph into the magic stuff.
Okay.
So we had Joey Votto on, and he's a big chess player, right?
Yeah.
Said, okay, you know, how is chess? Chess like baseball. You know, this is one more, you know, one more for the other. And then, you know, Joey.
Yeah.
Like, no, not really. You know, it's like it's like checkers. You know?
Yeah, okay.
Magic in baseball. And so when you talk about the learning to like it, enjoying it and then getting good at it, there's a discipline to it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Am I thinking too much into like there is maybe some crossover when it comes to the one discipline helping the other discipline?
No, not at all. I mean, I think it's the most important thing. It, just like we talked about earlier, if you like something, you're going to do it. So obviously I love baseball. I love all of it, right? Everyone sees just the you on the field, but there's so much more that goes into it. You're here. I mean, I'm here at 6 a.m. for spring training. I'm in the hot tub. I'm warming up my body. I'm going in the cage, taking some swings, learning a few things that I, you know, tweaking some things that I want to do, and then we're going defense stuff, and then we have our practice, and then afterwards you have a lift. And you know, if you don't love it, it's gonna feel like a burden, and you're not gonna want to do it, and you're not gonna want to do the extra stuff that is probably necessary for you to be the best that you can possibly be. So I think it's literally with anything in life. So magic, everyone wants to say, you know, as a catcher you have quick hands, you know, with the cards, and does that have anything to do with framing pitches? No, absolutely not. It's not nothing to do with that. But just how much you want to work at something, and how you don't want to really settle to be mediocre is just transferable in all walks of life. For me,
yeah.
You know, in anything that I want to do, I want to if I enjoy it, I want to be really good at it. And even if I don't enjoy it, but I know that it's good for me, I want to be really good at it as well. So it's that competitive nature that gets me going.
By the way, so I was watching, there was live BP today, and there was a ball to backstop, and it goes behind the net, and they go, oh, and you go back to get it, and you can't get it. And they're like, oh, just put your mitt through the net.
Yeah.
It's mad. Like, you must be, like, you're probably like, okay. All right, I get, you know, like, yes, yes, it's magic, yes, the analogy. No, we're on the baseball field. Let's stick to that.
Yeah.
But you go back to the love of magic. So I guess, like, the floor is yours. I mean, just tell me how this came about, how you fell in love with it, because it's not something that you'd say, oh, you know, I want to be. I don't know. Maybe somebody says, I want to be a magician.
Yeah,
you
know? No.
But I mean, you said it was 2015, so it wasn't like you were like a 10-year-old kid. You
know? No, I was playing in winter ball in the Dominican Republic for Lice. We had a rain delay. And, you know, most people have learned a few magic tricks, just self-working card tricks when they were kids from their uncle, from their dad, that blow people's mind. And so I had just one of those kids that learned one of those tricks when I was younger, and you know, I just had a deck of cards, or that people play cards. I was like, hey, does anyone want to see a magic trick? And I showed a simple counting trick that you can learn super easy, and the reactions I got were awesome. You know, I being a catcher, I like to be vocal. I like to be somebody that is in the conversation and in the center of attention. So this was a vice for me to gain people's attention and speak to them, and also just have fun and kind of relax them and me in an environment that's pretty stressful, being a professional athlete.
Yeah.
So I got the reactions that I thought were really cool, and I immediately went home to my hotel room in the Dominican Republic and just looked up on YouTube beginner card magic, like beginner card tricks, and learned a few moves and stuff, and practiced, showed the guys, still got great reactions. So
the reaction's everything, though, right?
That's
like keeps you going, like, oh man, I like that people like this.
Yeah, because, you know, there are a lot of tricks that are really technically hard to do. Just in terms of sleight of hand or card manipulation or you know, hand placement. But if it doesn't garner a good reaction, it's not really fun to perform. And when you, like, you know, it's cool to look at on a video or a TikTok or something like that. But to perform something for other people and getting them on the edge of their seat and then them having a great reaction at the end, that's kind of what it's all about. And that's how I like to do stuff, because for me, I don't really have that much time. These professional magicians they're spending 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, just like I'm doing on the baseball field. They're practicing magic. So if you were to put me up against let's just say an Aussie Wind, who's an unbelievable magician, unbelievable, like, I would just say card mechanic, creates his own card tricks, creates his own moves. Like, I don't stack up to him in the slightest. It's like It's like somebody being a little leaguer and then comparing to me. It's, you know, as a big leaguer, it's not the same. We're not in the same category. But so I got to do stuff that makes everybody else kind of enjoy the moment and things like I like to have some comedy along with the magic.
Well, that's the other. You have to be an entertainer, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. You know, there's guys. Shin Lim is, he won America's Got Talent. He's unbelievable magician. He doesn't talk. Penn and Teller, you know, Teller doesn't talk. You know, that's some people's persona, and that's fantastic. And you know, that's what makes them tick and makes them good. And you know, for me, I like to talk, and I like to add some comedic effect to it and enjoy it.
But that's the other part about it. You have to know to do the magic, but then you have to present the magic. You have to whatever way you can entertain with the magic. And I don't know.
Yeah.
So you do TikToks, right?
I mean, I haven't done it in a long time, but I have a TikTok.
But that's, you know, part of it, right? That's flexing or exercising your magician muscles. You know,
For sure. I think that. That's why, you know, I started in 2015. I really wouldn't think that I was comfortable in front of a crowd until about 2019. And that really just comes to, it comes to basically how many times I performed a trick, how many iterations and or variations I've done. Mm. And I have kind of a good... what would you say, banter that goes along with a certain trick that, you know, I have, it shows that I have charisma, or, you know, I can talk while I'm doing stuff now instead of focusing on what I'm doing with my hands and being choppy with how I talk. You know, like now everything flows together and it's more fun. So it's more fun for me, and then it's obviously more engaging for the audience.
What was the first time that a team asked you to do in front of a team? Because that's, you know, it's one thing to do in front of a couple guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
So in 2016 spring training, I was with the Astros, and AJ Hinch was the manager. And, you know, just like most teams do, they bring you in, how was your offseason? You know, what'd you do? What'd you learn? All that stuff. And, you know, one of the things, I just said I learned how to do magic. And he said, all right. And so he just called me up in front of the whole team in one of those meetings one time in 2016, was not prepared for it. And he's like, you said you learned how to do magic. Here's it. I've never done it in front of anybody that was, you know, let alone a whole thing. So I messed up a few times, and it was fun. Everyone loved it, but you know.
So every team you go to now, do you have to do that?
I mean, a lot of, since I've played on 11 teams, I think that, you know, I know at least 3, 4, 5, or 6 guys that I've either played with or played against that have heard about the magic. So I'll get to a team and they'll be like, when are you going to show a magic show? And then it'll somehow get to the manager. Alex Cora was the bench coach with the Astros in 2017, when I got traded to the Brewers. So he knew, and he had come up to me and was like, hey, do you want to do this? I said, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. And so, he wanted me to do it.
How'd the latest one go? So this is the one you did.
Yeah, today.
Yeah,
it was, I mean, it was great.
How would you grade it? Who was, if you're going to power rank your,
I mean, it was good. It was solid. Yeah, it was solid. You know, I was nervous beforehand.
Were you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been doing it, like.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's new guys.
I mean,
right?
I get nervous before I play baseball, a major league baseball game, or even a minor league baseball game. It's just, I don't think nerves are. I have anxiety, so I don't think nerves are something to shy away from. I think that it just means you care about something. So I just try and use it to your advantage in certain scenarios and play off of it. And I think that you can kind of reverse engineer it to where, you know, it can work for you instead of working against you.
No, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So what was the go-to? Some like you did today.
Yeah.
How many tricks do you do? I mean, do you basically say, okay, how much preparation do you have to do? Do you have an idea? I've done this before. I know how much time is before.
Yeah.
So how many tricks do you do?
Yeah, so today I did 3 tricks.
Okay.
AC, Cora gave me about 15 minutes or so. So I know that I can do, you know, one trick in for 5 minutes or so.
Mm.
Certain tricks that I like to do with crowds that are, it just depends. Crowds that are completely in front of you where you have angle, you have angles in which you can present certain things. No one's behind you. You can do certain tricks that no one's going to see. You're not going to flash anything. In a setting like it was today where everyone's completely around you, you have to do stuff that's kind of angle-proof, which basically means that unless someone's sitting directly below you and looking straight up at the deck of cards, like, nobody will know what sleight of hand move you've done. So there are things that, that actual magicians do, and so in certain scenarios, they will only do angle-proof card tricks, whereas on stage magic, for most of the time, it doesn't really matter if there's something behind you. They know that there's a camera looking down from the top, so it projects onto a screen, and then also people are looking from the front or just in front if they're sitting at the stage, but they're not behind you, so you can maneuver your body in the way that need to do.
What were the ones that you did?
Basically it was like a card to wallet type trick, but a variation of it that I like to do. A anniversary waltz type trick, again, a variation I like to do. People that are magicians will know what these tricks are. And then I did a Chicago opener, which is basically, it's a certain trick. Again, people, if you look up on
YouTube.
We're
going to Google it. Yeah,
Chicago opener is it. I have no idea who did it, but it's definitely not my own trick. I did my own variation of it, but yeah, I opened with that and yeah, so I did three things.
What's the trick that you're most proud that you've ever done? Because I would imagine it's like Houdini, you know, like I got myself out of shackles in the river. That's a terrible example, but
yeah, I honestly. There's a trick that is called reswindle. Again, I don't know who. It's not my trick, but it's very technically hard, just with the amount of moves that you have to do, the amount of sleights they're called that you have to practice and know how to do within this trick, and being able to do it and perform that in front of people. Which, you know, I did that. I performed in front of the Magic Castle, in front of judges and stuff. And
oh, really? Okay.
I thought it was very cool. These are magicians that are judging you, and I thought it was really cool and felt proud that I was able to learn how to do that and be able to do it under extreme pressure, which is, you know, performing for other magicians. They know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So they're looking more for technicality as opposed to, you know, if anyone's ever seen Penn and Teller fool us, like, they know how most of the stuff is done.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get them on technicality. Sometimes you invent something that they haven't learned how to do yet. In my case, I have not invented anything. Everyone knows how to do, not everybody, a lot of people know how to do this, and it's just a matter of performing it and not flashing or performing it well. And being able to do that was really satisfying.
The last thing is we talked to Taylor Hearn, who was in rodeo. Right?
Okay.
He said, "I want to do rodeo, like, after I retire."
Yeah.
Is this something where, because I would imagine if you're doing it, it's fun, it's a hobby, you're doing it like as a hobby.
Yeah.
But if you dug in on it, hey, I can maybe do this a lot more if I want. I mean, is that something that ultimately later in life that he's like, I want to dig in on this and perhaps be a performer?
I thought about it. Yeah. I would say probably not, just because I would want to do, you know, I sports psychology, like I said, mental health and anxiety are a big part of my life. So I think I would want to do something more along the lines of sports psychology. I really had an interest in that in college and growing up. And I was a psychology major in college and was going to pursue that had I not gotten drafted. So I think I'm still into that, and even more so now that I've, you know, played baseball for a long time and gotten to the big leagues, and, you know, just all that comes with it from a mentality standpoint and the anxiousness that you feel on a daily basis on how to navigate, you know, certain situations.
It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro recharge kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.